Blog Talk Radio.
This is Real Talk on Global Social Radio. Yeah. So death.
Welcome, listeners, and to all the people in the chat room, Global 14 Radio. I'm your host for the night, Ash. I'm filling in for Crush tonight. If you missed last night's show, you missed a great and wonderful show. Crush did the damn thing. Last night, great interview with Mary Mary. You guys need to go back into the chat room or go back into Global and check it out. Listen to it again. I want to take the time out to introduce my co-host, Jeezy. What's up, Jeezy?
Hey, what's going on, Ash?
Nothing much, man. Just long, stressful day at work, you know. It's one of those things. So.
Yep, same shit, different day.
Exactly. So before we get into the show, I want to take some time and give you guys some Global 14 updates. Five more days to the Global 14 for the Global 14 and 14 meet and greet. Start at the end of the month, October 31st through November the 12th. Stay tuned in here and check global14.com for any more updates. Also, special announcement. If you want to be a part of the radio show, hit up Crush on global14.com at Crush. We are looking to expand and add new segments. So if you got what it takes, hit up. Crush didn't pass this whole stuttering stuff thing on to me, Jeezy. And don't forget to check out Chocolate Tiger every Friday at Sex Talk at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for those prizes and contests. So with that, let's go ahead and get into these quickies of the day. A federal judge temporarily bars Florida's welfare drug test laws. A federal judge blocked the controversial Florida law requiring all welfare applicants to be drug tested. The law went into effect July 1st, but a single father in the American Civil Liberties Union contended in a lawsuit that the new law was unconstitutional and violates Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable search and seizure. For those who fail the required drug test may designate another individual to receive the benefits on behalf of their children, but they do not receive a refund for the cost of the test. Now, me personally, I don't know why they blocked it, because in all honesty, they need some laws like that. Maybe some of these people will get up and go work and stop sitting around smoking weed and doing whatever drugs they're doing and collecting money and eating filet mignon and all this good stuff while we just sitting, you know, while the good people over here working and they butts off. So, Jeezy, what you think about that?
You know, as well, Ash, I think, I don't know why they blocked it either, because I don't want to support, you know, if you pay taxes, ever pay taxes, you're supporting someone. So, yeah, they can go out and buy their filet mignon, their lobster, their fucking dime bags, You know, that shit's just not cool, and it's getting old. Like, get your priorities straight. If you need that money, you need the money. Don't. It's ruining an opportunity for people that need the money. Someone who really needs the money is going to get less because you're a freaking deadbeat. And all you want to do is get high and buy overpriced things that you can't afford. Get a job and make it so you can afford them.
Yeah, that's true. That's what they need to really do.
So, I mean, you know, I'm all for the drug testing. I think it should be a state, a national thing. And speaking of saving money, Obama today announced that at a University of Colorado speech, he's made an executive order, and the plan will lower student repayment for their student loans 10% of their annual income. This will actually save the students quite a bit of money. I think it is a great idea. He will also put in a plan that will allow students to put their loans in one lump sum, and this will also save them money, which I think that's a great idea. I mean, right now, you know, you can go to a bank and say, hey, I'm sure you can. You want all your loans put, you know, take out one big loan to cover all your loans. But hopefully the interest rate on this will be better, which, you know, I'm assuming it will be. And there was a plan in place for this in 2014, but Obama says he wants this to start next year because it will jump the economy. You know, Ash, a lot of people are getting out of college, and if they're engaged and want to get married, you know, they want to start their life with their wife or husband or whoever, you know, they can't, they're afraid to do that because it's a big commitment to buy a house and go buy a new car when you have other payments and shit on the line. So, I mean, in doing this, Obama hopes that it'll help stimulate the economy.
Because I was also reading something just the other day, and they were talking about how some of the, the kids got, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars of, student loans, and they're moving back home. They're like 30, 40 years old, and they're moving back in with their parents because they're either too scared to go out and get stuff, or they so in debt and their credit is jacked up, they don't know what to do. So, yeah, I hope that all you up, because I ain't going to lie, I'm in that same boat. I got hella student loans to pay off.
Yeah, I mean, I have a good friend of mine. He actually has two or three kids, and he went to a private college. It was fairly expensive, like any other private college. You're going to pay at least 35, 40 grand a year. And I was talking to him one time, and he was telling me he's going to be still paying off his college debt when his kids are getting ready to go to college. Like, you know, and what other choice do you have? It's almost like you have to go to college. Now, you don't necessarily have to go to private, but you do need to go to college because that's how you get a job nowadays. Unless you somehow go out and make your own, you go to college so you can get a job, and all these people are in debt. And now the thing is, are you even going to get a job after you spent the 4 years worth of tuition on college?
Yeah, that is good. I mean, that's just crazy. But, you know, hey, I hope he hurry up and passes it real quick, fast, and all this stuff goes through because, like I said, I need that relief. My stuff's been in deferment for I don't know how long. So, on to some other quickies. Armless Archer is setting world records. If you ever wondered what determination looks like, take a good long stare at Matt Stuzman. You wouldn't be the first person to look at Stuzman. Stuzman was born without arms, but he compensates with creativity and the will to succeed. He turned his determination into a success on the archery range. Stuzman adjusted, you know, and it's crazy because how he does it is he adjusts the bow with two toes and holds it with his right foot and then brings the arrow with his left foot. Now, I don't know about y'all, but, hell, I can barely hold it with my hand to do that thing. And that's just amazing to me. So in September, he shot from two football fields, from two football fields away, 230 yards to be exact, bringing a Guinness World Record to the longest shot on the target. And he's vying for a spot on the 2012 U.S. Paralympic team. Wow. G14, if that isn't a testament on not giving up despite your physical attributes, then I don't know what is. This is a true sign of never, ever, ever give up. Jeezy, what you think about that one?
You know, that is impressive. I've heard of people, I've had friends that have wrestled with people in high school or have seen wrestling matches, you know, and the person doesn't have arms or legs, and I'm pretty sure they've even seen somebody that didn't have both. And to be able to do something, regardless of any disabilities, to go out with that determination, you have to admire somebody with that. Like, that takes a lot of determination and confidence, and you have to respect them because that's impressive. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that don't set me back, and if I don't, you know, even if I do have a passion for them sometimes, I'm just like, I'm not going to waste my time. So you have to admire this guy for not getting all worked up and everything and actually following through with it. And I mean,
yeah,
look where he's at now.
Yeah, I mean, just that in amazement. I was looking at, you know, some of the pictures and how he was doing it and everything, and that was, it was just, it's one of those things where it's in awe, and it's like, it makes you want to go out and do even that much more. It's like, you don't even want to hear anyone saying that, oh, I can't do it, I'm not strong enough, I don't have that will or anything. It's like, nah, I don't want to hear that. It's like, I can't hear that.
Yeah, it makes you want to ask them. It's like, do you really want it that bad then? Like, how bad do you actually want it? Because truly, it's like, if you have determination and the willpower, you honestly can do anything. Like, it's all,
yeah.
I think it's all, a lot of it is a mindset.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's just, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, it's just your willpower. If you have the will, you will do it. You will strive. You will make it work. You know, and that's what you really have to people. That's what people have to understand. It's not about everyone around your surroundings or who you with or whatever. It's you have to do it yourself. You have to find it within to make this work. You know, to make whatever it is that you going through to make it really pop off and do it great. So.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You have to have that determination. And, you know, if you want it bad enough, you will get it.
Yeah, that's...
Recently, yeah, today Rockstar Games finally announced on its website that Grand Theft Auto V is in the works. And so far, no information has officially been released. But except the fact that the trailer will be out on November 2nd on a website, Kotaku, which usually is more than likely correct about its rumors, so there's a good chance this will be happening. The new Grand Theft Auto will be taking place in a version of L.A., and it's not the first time that Grand Theft Auto has been based out of L.A. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas was based in L.A., and the city was built like that. So it will be L.A.-based Grand Theft Auto, but we'll see how it's variated. This is the last installment of Grand Theft Auto 4 was released in 2008, and it had additional content released in 2009. But it is still unclear whether or not we will get to play the games, when we will get to play the games, excuse me. Several sources believe that we'll see this release sometime in 2012, while others expect to see it released when Xbox and PlayStation come out with a new console to support it. Ash, I know you have some hard feelings against Grand Theft Auto, or at least you're not a big fan. How do you view Grand Theft Auto?
Man, I turned that sucker on, and I played like 5 minutes, and all I seen was hitting hookers, pimping people, running. I was like, man, what the hell is this? I mean, and I know it's like a very, very popular game, and a lot of people like it. I just really can't get into it. I tried numerous times, and it's like, I really can't get into it. Me, I'm more of a Call of Duty person. You know, I love Call of Duty, so I'm more of a shoot it up type of person. But I mean, I think didn't they say like 1 year that Grand Theft Auto it like raked in like over a couple of 100 million or like 100 million or something like that one Christmas. Like, it was, like, one of the top games.
Yeah, it is ridiculous how many people do actually play Grand Theft Auto. And me, I really do like Grand Theft Auto, and I get addicted and really into the game. I don't know what it is. I think it always usually has a good storyline and everything to it. And I end up sitting down, tell myself I'm not going to play it very long. I look up. I've been playing it for 2 or 3 hours, maybe even 4. But I do have to agree with you, Call of Duty, that new one, that's looking fresh. But many people do say video games like this will affect kids, and a lot of parents and stuff, you know, they're out there trying to blame violent video games for the way their kids act. Do you think that violent video games actually have an impact on somebody, on how they personally react to situations in actual life?
You know what? I really don't. Because if that's the case, then you would really say, like, that's the same thing with cartoons. Like, everybody's going to imitate a cartoon. Cartoons is, to me, hell, just as violent. And, you know, well, when I was growing up, that was the biggest thing. We didn't have too many video games. People wasn't really into video games. So, I mean, for them to, you know, I don't really think it's really... The parents and, you know, making sure you monitor what your kids is doing, how they're playing it, you know, or what have you. But it's really, I don't buy that. Put it like that. I don't use that as a scapegoat as far as that. I think, you know, it's just a game. You know, you can't really use that to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to, nah. That's not it. Not at all.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think somebody that has to blame it on that is either, number one, full of a bunch of bullshit, or number two, they're not mentally stable in the first place, and they probably shouldn't blame the game, because for someone to blame their life on a video game, that's a horrible excuse. I think it's nothing more than an excuse and you taking the pussy way out. And not owning up to your mistakes. Don't blame it on a video game. No, that's just stupid. I don't understand how anybody has ever really had an argument that a video game affects how a person really acts, and that the video game's responsible for their actions.
Right. I mean, yeah. That's, you know, like I said, that's a real cop out. And I just got this information as far as Patrice O'Neill, former host of VH1. I'm not sure if you guys remember the show. It was called Web Junk 2.0, I think that's what it was called. Well, he suffered a stroke, and the reports are coming out from, like, E! Online and stuff like that, that his current prognosis doesn't look too promising. So... right now, you know, we want to send our prayers out to Patrice O'Neill, because I don't know much. Jeezy, have you seen him, like, or heard of him on that show before? Because he is funny as all get out. Like, that dude is hilarious.
Me personally, no, I haven't. I haven't heard of him or listened to him. Or, you know, if I did, I didn't realize it was him. But I don't ever really recall hearing or listening to him or watching him.
Okay. I mean, but, you know, hey, if you get a chance, you know, go check him out and, you know, see what he has, you know. If you guys have any comments or any questions on our quickie, you know, for today, please call in 760-913-4119. So, Ryan, right now I'm, you know, a little parched, you know, so I need to give me a little something to drink. I think I'm going to have to go and give me, you know, a little something to drink. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we got our topic for the day.
Y'all mythological niggas is comical. The astronomical is coming through like the flu bombing you and embalming in your crew too. With the musical, mystical, magical, you know how I do. The word attack skills and vocabulary too. I'm a hit in the disposition, it's all brand new. You're through. I'm interplanetary and like Doctor Who. So who? Wanna get chipped on word bone? I'm kicking rhymes since the AM vote just wrong. Not Quincy, but I'm back on the block and not selling crack. I'm coming in with the fat, but flows and tracks. So what you saying, black? With all that yakety yak. My order back, can't be beat with back. I'm saying, I eat everything up on the menu and bend you and send you swaying to be continued.
Welcome back. You're listening to Real Talk Radio. I'm filling in for Crush today. She's out taking a nice little break, well-needed break. You know, everybody deserves one. So let's get into our topics for today. We would really love to hear what your thoughts and opinions are on our topic today. So call in, 760-913-4119. Okay, and the topic for today is, are you a product of your environment? And if you are, do you continue to be a product? Me, I'm going to say no. My environment is a product, excuse me, goodness. My environment is a product of everything, you know, of me and everything about me, my personality, you know, you can trace that back to some past occurrences in my environment. So, I mean, for me, yeah, I'm not a product of my environment. What about you, Jeezy? Do you feel you are a product of your environment?
Completely different. I had a wonderful family, thank God for him. But, you know, it's almost like my personality and the way I dress and act, like nothing of that really came from them. Like, I'm kind of out there and outgoing, whereas they aren't as much. And a lot of people that I went to school with, you know, not everyone, there's a few of those individuals. I'm not really like them either. I feel like I really do stand out and I'm different. But, a lot of people say it's because I was an only child and they try to say I'm weird or something. I'm not exactly sure if that's it. You know, maybe, but I truly don't feel like I am exactly a product of my environment. I would say that definitely had some impact in the way I turned out, but I wouldn't say that I'm like everyone else that came from there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that made total sense because, you know, I think anybody that used that as an excuse is, you know, kind of crazy. They just need to reevaluate their life. But, you know, you're not a product of your environment. You know, you make your environment, put it like that.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. I really hate when people try to use that as an excuse, honestly, you know. Just because you grow up around drug dealers doesn't mean you have to be a drug dealer. Just because your parents are alcoholics doesn't mean you have to turn out like an alcoholic. Or just because your parents are drug addicts doesn't mean you have to be. So, you know, I really do think people that say they are just a product of their environment, I feel like they really are using that as an excuse.
Yeah, most of them are, you know, because, you know, like, I mean, Because I know there's probably tons of people that's listening. I know, like, we did a show a while ago, and one of the guys was talking about where he live at. A lot of, you know, he's stuck. And he felt that there was no way for him to get out of wherever, you know, his element. And it's like, and I kind of understood what he was saying, but at the same time, you're not stuck. It's, you know, it's your will. If you're willing to get out and you want to get out, you can. You know, don't use that you're stuck or, you know, I don't have nowhere to go. Shit. You know, if you want to make a way, you'll figure it out. You'll get the hell out. You'll do whatever you have to do to get out.
Yeah, that makes total sense. You know, the first thing is, if you recognize the problem, whereas this guy kind of had, you know, if you recognize what is going wrong and you realize what you want to change, I mean, what's holding you back, really? I think a lot of people are restricted by their own mindset, truly. People in life tend to feel like there's this physical barrier almost holding them back, when in all reality, there's not a physical barrier. Who's to say that you really can't go do something or that you can't truly do what you want to do? There's nothing really holding you back but yourself. You know, it almost goes back to this archer. If you truly want something in life, I feel like you really can get it if you have determination, willpower. If you truly are determined to get out of the situation you're in, I really feel like you can get out of that situation.
And that is true. So, so very true. You know, I live, like I say, I do everything with the, you know, like, I live my life forward. I'm going to just keep going. I ain't trying to look back. I ain't trying to do any of that stuff. Like, I mean, you know, hell, I grew up in the project. I'm not looking back. I don't want to see a project again.
You know, and I feel like when people really do have that mindset, that's awesome. Like, if you get, you know, if someone gets out of that situation and or something like that, or I know a lot of people that grew up in not so great things, and it's funny to see how many of them turn out to be driven to get out of a situation where, you know, maybe they didn't have good parents and they didn't want to be like their parents and they just grew up in shitting surroundings. And I know someone like this from personal experience. Their mom did drugs and shit, and their dad was there to support him best he could, but he had some shit of his own going on, and the parents were split up. And, you know, it's so interesting just to watch how their kids react, because you think they'd be driven to get out so they didn't end up like their parents, but then you're watching them screw up and screw up, and they're setting themselves up to be like their parents. Like, how can you want to live that life that you lived for the past 17, 18, 19 years? How do you want to live that life that you have been for the rest of it? That's one thing I just don't understand.
Yeah, I. You know what? What's funny is like, some of the people that I grew up with, they live in the projects. And I remember when I was young, you know, we were all the same age. And come to find out, like now, I went there like maybe last year, and all of them are still there. Like, they're grandfathered into their project's apartments. And it's like, you really don't want to do anything more. Like, you just want to stay here. And it's like, that to me is just like, you just really have no willpower. You don't have nothing. You know, like, you don't have no oomph, no get up, no. I mean, I'm just like, you just be like, come on, get out, do something. Like Outkast said, get up, get out, and do something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, where's your ambition as a human being? Do you not have hopes? And it's like they have no hopes and dreams, you know? And that's a very sad thing, because truly me as a person, I'm determined not to stop. I'm going to keep going. Like, my goal is to be living on a beach and a member of a yacht club. Like, that sounds crazy and out there, but I'm driven, and I'm not going to stop till I get it. I feel like if you have the drive, determination, and motivation, you'll get there, or at least you'll be well on your way. And honestly, if I don't make that, I can't really say I'll be heartbroken. I set the bar pretty high. I'm not saying I'm making an excuse for myself if I don't make it where I want to be. But then again, it's more of I just want to live my life happily more than necessarily having those material things, knowing I lived it. I lived a successful life, I feel like, and me, truly, I base my definition of success on self-fulfillment.
Oh, that's what's up. I mean, I understand that one, and that's the way you have to be. That's good. That's a nice one there, Jeezy.
Yeah, definitely. And, what were some of your experiences with your father and grandfather while growing up, Ash?
You know, I used to like, my father was like in and out. You know, like I said, I grew up, you know, in New York City in the project. So for me, my father was like in and out my life. So it really wasn't, you know, that significant. However, you know, with my grandfather, you know, it was great. I used to go down to Charleston, South Carolina all the time and just, you know, hang out with him. He would teach me different stuff like, you know, carpentry and, you know, fishing. He was the one that taught me everything, you know. So those are the things that, you know, that I miss that helped mold me to be the person that I am today, you know. You know, and that's what I, you know, want to do for my son. I want him, you know, to learn from me, you know, because right now none of my grandparents are living, so I got to do everything for him. So, you know, what about you, Jeezy?
You know me, my father, he was never in the picture because he, I was always told he was an alcoholic and he did drugs, and he didn't want me around either, and he wanted nothing to do with my mom, and he had made some threats against her if she came around or any of that. So he was never in the picture for me in my life, but I grew up with my mom, my grandma, and grandpa, and, you know, my grandpa was the closest thing I had to my dad, and really, in the moment, he actually died in 2001, and it was the worst day of my life, but knowing when he was alive, it was like I never realized the things that he was teaching me in the moment. But now that I look back, it was like there are a lot of things he taught me. I mean, this guy, he was somebody that truly believed in the theory. If you know somebody, you can usually get something accomplished. It's who you know. And I learned a lot of that. And he also taught me a lot of respect. He showed me to show people a lot of respect and stuff. And, you know, I wish he definitely could have been around more in my life. But the moments I did have with him, you know, it was awesome. And he's passed away. I have another grandfather, too. But he lives in Georgia, so I don't get to see him as much. And my grandma and my mom, they've also been great influences on me. And they've truly done a lot for my life, in my life.
Right. I mean, that's just up. And, I mean, for anybody out there, like, if you have any, you know, if you want to come and call in and share and talk about your topics, talk about our topics. Do you feel that you are a product of your environment? Call in. We want to hear what your take is on it. 760-913-4119. We want to hear what you guys got to say. I see everything in the chat room. Everybody is, like, going haywire. Going haywire, you know, it's chat room always be going crazy, but you know, it's all good. So Jeezy, I have a real good question. Like, what legacy do you feel that you're leaving?
You know, it's funny that you asked that because my senior year of high school, we had got a new principal. My sophomore or junior year, I can't remember exactly which one, junior year, and I actually respected him and admired him, and one of the first things he started pounding in our head senior year, he started saying, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? And I know definitely at high school, I truly feel like I left at least a good legacy there. I hope the rest of my life can go that way, and I do put that impact. Because in high school, I always tried being nice to people. When I was a freshman, the seniors were always the ones that were douchebags to the freshmen. And it was like they were just sitting there treating you like you were just this piece of dirt. And I told myself when I was a senior I wasn't going to be like that, you know, and a lot of people respected me for that. I also got involved with a lot of the media stuff at high school, and I feel like not my legacy spread throughout more than my high school, but into my town, because I had begun doing a lot of, not necessarily so much, but, you know, kind of quite a bit for a media stuff for the city I grew up in. So I feel like that helped me leave a positive impact on the city, and people admired that. And it's kind of funny because my nickname was, in high school, was the Admiral. And now when people say, like, you know, upperclassmen now will say my name in high school, people will be like, who's that? And someone will have to say, oh, the Admiral. And it's like, oh, ha, 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 and all the teachers. It's funny because that's what they still address me as and stuff. So, I mean, really, I want to leave a positive impact. I don't want to necessarily, I don't want to be remembered for being somebody who was stuck on himself and necessarily was just concentrated on himself, but I want to help others grow to where they want to be also. I want to leave a good legacy, a good impact on the people that come in and out of my life. What about you, Ash?
I mean, for me, my legacy, for me, it's more so, you know, I want to leave a legacy more for my son. I want him to have a good life. I'm doing a lot for him now. I'm, you know, a lot of struggling. I'm going through all the pains and the stripes so he doesn't have to go through it. And that's to me is the only legacy I want to leave is for him. I know for everyone else, it would probably be like, oh, Ash is the one that made everybody laugh. Ash was a fool. You know, that's cool, but for me, it's more for my son. I want him to know, you know, the type of person I am. I'm always involved in his life. Even though he's, you know, a couple of hundred miles away, I'm always there. You know, I'll never leave anything, you know, left, you know, for him to worry about. That's just that. If he wants to, you know, if he calls and says, Daddy, I need you to come, I'm there. You know, and that's, you know, that's what I hope most people would do for their kids. But hold on, it looks like we do have a caller. Hold on. Bill Golden, you're on the air. What's up, man?
Peace, G14 Radio. How y'all doing?
We doing good.
All right, I just wanted to call and talk about the product of the environment thing. I think that cuts both ways. I actually do believe people are product of their environments, but I do think they can also change what's going on in their life if they apply themselves, but it may take them a little bit more time to be reached because of where they came from. I know I got homeboys right now, if you went over to their house, the people that are older than them in their house, you wouldn't believe how they act. They act worse than them. So when they step out the door into society and they basically get that all day, some people may look at them like, man, you know, you like you raised by wolves. And they kind of are. You know what
right.
I'm saying? They kind of are until somebody else, maybe it's a teacher or somebody else, outside that radius shows them another view of life. You know, I know for a fact when I moved from New York down to Florida, when I saw a man cutting his lawn across the street from the house and he waved, I was looking at him like, the hell you waving at? Because when you come outside on the block in New York, there's about 15, 20 cats that link up on the end of the corner, and if you don't recognize somebody, you're definitely not waving at them. You know what I'm saying? So I was glad that I got that other side from where I came from. But if you went into my front porch, cats playing poker, smoking Black and Miles, things like that, if you're around that every day, that stuff influences you, you know. It could even make you better. It could make you a thug. It can make you a whole bunch of different things, but it can influence you.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, you know, hopefully people will start getting out of that mold of just thinking they have to be, you know, stuck in one place. They got to change their dang mindset. But thanks, Golden, for calling in, man. Really appreciated that, man.
No problem. You and Jeezy keep doing your thing. One.
Thanks, man. Oh, oh my goodness. All right, let's take another quick break. And we come back, we got the spilt tea for the day.
Mr. West is in the building, swagger on 100,000 trillion. Hey yo, I know I got it first, I'm Christopher Columbus, y'all just a pilgrim. Thanksgiving, do we even got a question? Hermes, pastel, I'll pass the dressing. My attitude is tattooed, that mean it's permanent, so I guess we should address it, huh? My swagger is Mick Jagger, every time I breathe on the track, I asthma attack it. Why he so mad for, why he gotta have it? Cause I play my whole life, now I'm the master, nah, nah, nah. How I feel to wake up and be the in the urine, nah, nah, nah. Trying to get that Coke number, one over Jordan.
Welcome back. It's a part of that show that you all you lifers love sipping on. It's the spilt tea time. We got the girl Renita in the house. What's up, Renita?
What's going on, Ash? How you doing?
I'm doing good, you know, making it through this show. You know, I know I'm a little choppy, you know, I'm a little rusty, but, you know, hey, the rust will come off later.
It's all good. I'm going to start, instead of where is Waldo, I'm about to start where is Crush? Crush is MIA. I've been looking for her. I can't find her. Now we got fill-ins. Like, I think she may have got booed up, lifers. I'm going to keep an eye on that. But I just got a this just in because I am by the lovely Playboy Mansion right now. And an insider just confirmed Lindsay Lohan will be featured in Playboy. She is to get up to $1 million. For her spread. Now, I don't know, Ash, what do you think? You think this is going to be a good move with her, especially with all her trouble? What do you think?
I mean, I know she needs the money, but I hope she gets them damn teeth fixed, because I've seen them pictures of them teeth. Wee! She looked like she was biting rocks, goddammit. I was like, whoa, that's some heavy stuff. So,
I'll say this. I doubt it if guys and some girls will be looking at her teeth in this spread.
I mean, but we've seen everything already.
Oh, well, now it's going to be artistic.
Okay.
Miss Cat on Hot 107.9 in Philly, and she's also known from the Bad Girls Club, was just running off at the mouth on her show the other day talking about Drake. So apparently one of the hosts on 107.9 did an interview with Drake. She came up, and he seemed very like a little standoffish when her name was brought up. So the host went back in and asked her, like, shoot, like, he ain't telling us what we need to know, so you talk. And basically she said they dated for about a year and a half, and apparently he's really great at eating. And if y'all don't know what that is, then y'all too young to listen to this show. And he's packing, and she kind of hinted that he don't like using protection. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I don't need no more little Drakes running around. One Drake is enough for me. No Justice for Phoenix Phenom. Now, if you haven't heard of her, well, she's a singer that's had this song called Boom Dynamite. Now, this young lady submitted this song to Interscope Records, and nothing came of it. A year later, the Black Eyed Peas came out with Boom Boom Pow, as we know to be a huge success. That sound very similar, though, to Phoenix. So Phoenix then sued the Black Eyed Peas, and the judge just recently sided with them, stating that even though the songs are similar, because they're basically exactly not the same, the Black Eyed Peas still won. Now, I'm going to need all you lifers to go online. I need you to Google it. I need you to YouTube. Do whatever you got to do. Pull up both songs, because I've heard them both. Those songs are very similar down to, like, production all the way to vocal arrangements. Like, and I also want to throw in there, in case you didn't know, at the time, Will.i.am, I'm going to call him William because that's your name. That Will, that's not William, was an A&R for Interscope. Now, I'm not going to say nothing. She submitted a song to Interscope. He was in AR, and they sound similar. You guys make your own conclusion. And then finally, $1 million. Nope, it's not the next new Austin Power movie. It's the continuing chapter of Ryan Leslie and his goddamn Laptop Blues. Remember when Ryan was in Germany and he made a big deal? This was last October, and he lost his laptop, it was stolen out of his Mercedes. So then he took to Twitter, and he was like, oh, my God, like, whoever returns it, I'm going to give them a reward. Well, Armin Augustine actually returned the laptop to Ryan Leslie, and now he's suing Ryan because he said Ryan never paid him the reward money. Now, what's crazy is this is documented on Twitter. Like, Ryan started off at $25,000 and went to $1 million. So now Armin is suing him for $1 million. So good luck, dude, on trying to get that money. But maybe you should have kept the laptop after all. See, nice guys do not in first. I would have kept it. Anyway, this is Renita with your spilled tea for today here on Real Talk on Global 14 Radio. You can also catch me on Global 14. I'm at Rock and Rolla, RockNRolla. So, Ash, I'm out. I'm on a hunt for Crush. Lifers, we need to find and see what she's doing. I need to find out and get some spilled tea on Crush.
Go on. I know you be on that detective type stuff. Where in the world is Carmen San Diego? You on it deep. I know you are. So I want to thank everybody for, I want to thank the audience. I want to thank everybody for listening in, tuning in. I want to thank JD. I want you guys to tune into the show tomorrow. We got another great show as always. And you can find us on global14.com and Twitter, on Twitter at global14 and at g14radio.com. Thank you guys for calling in, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. So tune in tomorrow. Hopefully, Crush will be back. Maybe, maybe not.
So death.
Global 14 Radio.